Hello and welcome back to the My First Marathon podcast, where usually we're interviewing runners in all stages of their running careers about their first marathon experiences. But today we're back with another Wednesday solo episode. I guess I shouldn't say solo episode because we do have a guest today. She is 8 weeks into her training plan. She's got about 11 weeks left training for the Chicago Marathon. So I thought that it would be fun, since this person is training for their first marathon, to do a little mini episode on how training is going so far, some of the things that have surprised them, that have been exciting, that have been scary so far, and just overall kind of get her thoughts. So without further ado, let's jump right in. Please welcome my mom, Monique. Well, thank you for joining us for another Wednesday mini episode. I've been doing these solo, but this week I decided to have somebody on. So welcome, mom, to the show. This is my mom, Monique, and she's currently training for her first marathon.
Hey, thanks, Taylor. I'm happy to be here. It's kind of fun.
You know, what better way to spend your Sunday, right?
That's right.
Well, cool. Well, yeah, I think this is kind of a unique experience to be able to interview somebody who is currently going through their first marathon. So I think it would be fun to kind of just hear about, you know, how training's been going for you, some of the things that have been nerve-wracking or scary or things that you've had to change. I guess we can kind of, just start there.
Mm-hmm. Well, first off, this is all your fault.
Thanks.
So yeah, this is kind of my second round. I used to run a long time ago, probably like 8 years ago. I was a big runner, kind of stopped. Kids happen, you know, other things happen. And so I decided to get back into it, thanks to Taylor, who has, joined this wonderful running community. And this go around, almost halfway through, it's getting a little nerve wracking. And why wouldn't it be? Anything past 13 miles is uncharted territory for me. I've never ran further than a half marathon. I've done probably 7 in my lifetime, but this is like the first and foremost. So yeah, I'm a little bit nervous about what the second half looks like, but I'm excited and I'm a little bit, so I think in 3 weeks I'll be running 15 miles. I think you're doing about the same.
Yeah, and that's your first time over a half marathon.
Yeah, so next weekend I have 13. I'm not too worried about that. Yesterday I ran 12 and I felt pretty good. And I'm walking normal and all good, so I feel pretty good about it. So yeah, next time in a couple of weeks, ask me again.
Well, I think I've told you this, but, and I think I've told it on the show too, but the first time that I ran over 13 miles, I failed that run. So that was really nerve-wracking too, that you're going to fail. I think you're going to be completely fine. But yeah, when I failed mine, it was really, it took a hit to like my confidence a little bit, because I was like, oh shoot, maybe I can't run a marathon because I can't run over a half marathon. Have you thought about that? Or is that the reason why you're feeling nervous? Or
I've listened to you. Thank you for helping, helping me understand what's different about running from when I did it to now. I think the biggest thing that's changed is fueling. You know, I don't think when I was running before I ever ate.
I don't remember you even carrying like a water bottle with you or anything like that.
No, and I'm not shameful to say that I would get home from work and I'd have to go, bust out 5 or 6 miles and I might have a beer first. And so I think I just did it 100% wrong last time. And I don't know how I ran so fast. It was probably just the fact that I was 8 years younger, but now I'm doing it a lot better. And I think fueling is the number one thing that is different. And then just my mindset. I think the biggest thing is when I know I'm going to do a long run, I thoughtfully think a couple of days beforehand of what I'm eating, what I'm drinking. And you know, you've turned me on to all the helpful hydration and things that help, you know, stimulate more hydration and making sure that we're getting everything that we need. So I think that has helped. And then, yeah, all this fun, like, stuff you like, get to eat while you run.
Like, do you like chews or gels or what have you been doing?
Well, so I kind of have this, like, what you call it, runner's mouth. I call it the mental side of what I need. But like, every 5 seconds I take something to drink. And then every 15 minutes, I really like those salt thing, the hydration.
Oh, salt one. Stick.
Yeah, I really think those are great. So every 15 minutes, I pop some of, not every 15, because I think you're supposed to do it every 30 to 45 minutes.
30, I think. Yeah.
So I take some of those. And then every 30 minutes, I take something. And I like the Honey Stinger chews because they most make me not gag. And then I've tried a lot of the different gels, and I think you turned me on to the goo ones that are like water because they're
Oh, the
very liquid.
liquid goose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
So I
I like
like
those a
those.
lot.
And then I don't remember which one of your Rennie friends, but those nerd clusters are like
Oh, you
fantastic.
love those?
Well, and you know what's funny about my run yesterday is I was very like methodical about everything, and I was like on mile 10 and I had 2 to go, and I was like, okay, I got this, but I was like feeling tired and fatigued and it started to get hot, and I popped those suckers in there and away we went, and I finished and I was like, okay, there you go, all done.
Yeah, that's great. It's like those gummy, any gummy candies. I think as long as the nerd clusters are like tried and true, a bunch of runners run with those. But I know you can really just like look at nutrition facts on the back of candies, and if it looks like like your Honey Stinger chews, then that's a perfectly fine answer for that. But yeah, so fueling has been different, or yeah, you've added that in. How much or how what have you noticed like it making a difference on your runs?
Probably the fact that I feel stronger, that with being properly hydrated. I think, if I take a step back, a couple of years ago, your cousin Sarah, my niece, kind of got me turned on to this trainer to just kind of take a look at, some different training plans. I wanted, as I am getting older, I hate to say it, but they're, getting older, you have to think about your bones and your muscles and what you're putting in your body. And I wanted to make sure that I stayed healthy going into my 50s. So a couple of years ago, I met with this trainer and she put me on this plan, but she also taught me how to eat. As you know, I haven't been the best eater.
Yeah.
And so she kind of taught me how to check my macros and do that. And I think that's kind of carried me through the last several years and kind of helped me know that there's certain things that you have to be in your body. And I think that's helped.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to say your dad hasn't had a Pop-Tart for 2 years now. And so
Well,
smoothies.
I was telling you
I
Pop-Tarts are good
know.
running fuel though, so
I
it's
know.
maybe you need them back.
Well,
You can hide them from him.
I was gonna say I might hide, get them back for me, but hide them for him, but
Yeah.
I would say that I think that's been my biggest thing is just learning how to feel your body better. Oh, and the other thing is sleep. So like,
Yeah, you weren't a good sleeper before.
no, I wasn't a good sleeper, and now I'm all about going to bed between 8 and 9 if I can. And because I get up, well, here's the other fun fact is I've never been a morning person, and
No, you hate
let's thank Taylor for getting her mom. I now have a 4 o'clock alarm. That's
That's not my fault. You
Well,
chose to run a marathon. You got to do it.
I
I told
know.
I I told I've been telling you though, and you've been putting it on your story, so you can't lie about it. That I told you, it takes a couple weeks where you hate your life, but then you do have a run where you're like, oh, that actually felt kind of nice to get it out of the way, right?
Like yesterday, we had a very busy day yesterday, and knowing that I got my 12 miles in, there was no way I was gonna like want to come home and do them after I got
Oh
done, and
yeah, no.
it was great. So yeah, I am like. I think I'm a morning runner now. I think that's a normal thing. The other thing I've done is I've created this calendar, obviously. So I'm doing the run with Hal Happ. I'm sure we'll get to that at some point, but I
Yeah.
have found that helpful. So run with Hal. I'm running 3 days a week because that worked with my kind of work schedule. And then 2 days a week, I'm trying to do some sort of strength or band work.
Which is
And I
good,
think
'cause that a
that's
lot of people don't do that for their first marathon, so I think that's
okay.
really good.
So yeah, the first round when I was running before, no, did no strength training. I just got up, said, I'm gonna go run, so let's go run. And this time around, I'm being very thoughtful, thanks to you and all of your exercise plugs of what I should be doing. So yeah, I just do a mixture of bands and weight training and I'll throw a little cross training. I still gotta golf, and when I
Yeah,
golf,
golf
yeah,
works, yep.
golf is important. And when I golf, I walk. I try not to go in a cart or anything. And so I'm trying to do other things besides run to make sure. I will say this. All those half marathons that I did never felt good. And I think,
I was gonna get to that. Yeah, keep
yeah, they
going.
have never felt good. And I was usually between 8 to 10 is when I would have knee problem, back problem, hip problem. I hated my life. I thought, this is so stupid. Why am I doing this? And this time around, I mean, I'm proud to say that the 12 miles yesterday, I probably could have kept going if I mentally had prepared for that, but my body feels great. So far so good. I'm gonna knock on some wood because
Yeah.
ask me again in a couple of weeks and see what 15 looks like. But right now I'm feeling good.
Well, that's kind of we were actually talking about it this morning, that like you just take it one training run at a time. So don't even think about the 15-mile run, the 60-mile run, whatever. It's I think just one run at a time. I mean, as long as you're just preparing for the next run, you know, it you don't go from 0 to 26 miles in like a week. You go to 13 miles and then 14 and then 15, and it's a slow gradual build. So I think you just focus on one at a time. But I was going to touch on that a little bit because you want to talk a little bit about like how you were training when you were training, what'd you say, 8 years ago? Yeah, like the paces you were, or how you were thinking about paces, how your body felt when you were running, like that kind of thing.
And then 8 years ago when I was doing it, I was all about speed. If I wasn't running in a 9-minute mile, I felt like I was failing.
And
So,
running the whole time, right? Like no
right.
walking.
Oh yeah, I never walked. Like that was the biggest thing, it was the biggest failure I had, is I didn't walk and I was trying to run as fast as I can. You know, a lot of times I was out of breath because I was just running so fast, and I'm, you know, I didn't like track anything. I had a phone, you know, that I would track my runs, but I didn't like pay attention to heart rate or anything. And I'm sure that I'm surprised. Like, well, I'm sure I was doing it all wrong for sure. But you know, this, I guess when I was doing that, it was more about I never did a morning run. It was always after work. I was always fatigued. I just was going to getting them out. I had some plan I found off the internet. I don't even remember. It was like some your first half marathon plan or whatever. And I would just tackle each one. And then on the weekends, I would run. You know, the other thing I did is I did all of that training by myself. I never went with anyone. I did a few training runs with a couple of friends, but I always did all of my training runs by myself, which is hard in itself because that's a lot, takes a lot of self-motivation. This time around, I'm doing a lot of my short runs by myself, which I enjoy, but all of the long runs, so far, your dad has been very helpful. And going, he rides his bike, and it's been very helpful having someone with, mainly for company accountability, and then also for safety.
Yeah,
You know, I
safety,
want to make sure.
definitely.
Yeah, anytime you get over that 6 miles is when I have to, not like you, I have to go, you know, in some different territory, and I'd rather not be out there by myself. But yeah, it's been fun. So, you know, and he's been a great support of it and keeps me going. And you know, I look forward to those food breaks because I'm doing it 100% different. I don't do the, what do you call, I don't remember the name of it. I don't do the run walk method.
Oh, yeah, the
But
Galloway method.
yeah, so I run the whole time, but I stop and walk during my fueling.
Fueling
And
breaks, yeah.
so I look forward to those breaks where I can take whatever I need and take some water, more water, and then I get going again.
Yeah, no, I think that's perfect. And you, I think that the shift is like, if you wanted to walk, you would,
Oh
right?
yeah.
Like, yeah,
Oh
so
yeah. I
it's
think
you're
I
not
told
forcing
you
yourself
there.
to run.
Yeah. So before I kind of gravitated to the morning runs, I was running after work, and it's warm now in Oregon. You know, we're in the 70s and 80s and 90s, and you know, coming home from work after working 10, 11 days, and then coming home and trying to bust out, you know, 3 to 6 miles after work in 80 degree weather is tough. And I know it's not the humidity of North Carolina, so I know there's a lot of supporters out there that have, you know, we don't have a lot of humid, but or humidity, but that I did do that a couple of times, the whole run walk, and I would say that makes you feel good at the
Yeah.
end. It's, but I have goals as you do, and my personal goals are to not walk as much, other than during fueling breaks. That's what I'm hoping is my goal.
Yeah. I think that I actually just filmed something that will come out after this, but I was talking a little bit about goals, and I think that the only thing that I've learned over time with setting running goals is you have to set multiple, because you can go into it with the goal of running at the whole time or just walking the walking breaks, but you never know what's going to happen on the actual day. Like you saw in Eugene that with
Yeah.
me, like you never know when you're going to step off a curb weird, you know what I mean? Or you don't know when the weather's not going to cooperate in your favor or one of those things. So I think that you have to have your A goal, but then you also have to have your B and your C goal so that you have something that you can. achieve and still feel good about it. Because I hear stories all the time. You probably do too, because you listen to all the episodes. But I hear stories all the time of people who have these like really, really aggressive goals, like Boston, qualifying for Boston or something like that. And they run the marathon, like they've run the full distance and don't hit that goal. And then they don't feel like accomplished at all. They don't even feel good about it. And it's like, you just ran a marathon. Like, it's crazy to think about running a marathon and not feeling good about it, you know? So I think as long as you have A, B, and C goal, we'll be good. Because I might have to walk. Who knows?
Well, you and I, we're in this together. Because, again, I'm going to say this is all your fault, but it's a good fault. No, I think, you know, honestly, with all of those half marathons, I mean, even the half marathon that you and I did together in, where were we? The one we did?
It was North Carolina. It was in Greensboro, yeah. North Carolina. It's a smaller city, but some people might know.
So even that one, what was it, mile 10? 10 through 13 is a little bit hard for me, where we had to walk because I was having some hip or knee problem. And then even in Eugene, when we ran, I was solid the first 10, but I think it was mile 12 that I got a little twinge. Mm-hmm. And so that's my biggest thing, is I just want to finish feeling good, and whether I have to walk or not, I want to walk because I'm just tired and a little fatigued, but I don't want to have the pain and the, you know, the knee or the hip or the back pain like I've had in the past. And so far, so good. And I think as long as I continue, you know, straight training and nothing crazy happens, I think we'll be okay. And then the other thing is I'm just excited to do it with you. So I think that'll be fun. I'm in a long ways to run my first half marathon.
I know.
So yes, I will be trusting.
I don't think I think I said it in the intro, but we didn't say it here, but we're both running the Chicago Marathon. And it's kind of funny because we both put in for lottery and said, if I pull it, I don't remember if we said it was, if either of us pull it, we were going to run it, or just one of us. But if either of us pull lottery, then we're going to run it. But you pulled lottery and I did not. So I'm doing charity for Chicago, but we're still running it.
Well, I think the funny thing is that I never thought I would ever even entertain running a marathon. I think a lot of it has to do with every Monday I listen to your podcast and get super inspired by all the stories that are on there and all the variety of people who have ran their first marathon, knowing that, if they can do it, I could do it mentality. Yeah. And as I kept listening and learning from you, I thought, you know, in the back of my head, I'm thinking, okay, at some point I'm going to do this. I just figured it would be someplace here in Oregon, like the Portland Marathon or something around here. And so I don't know. I think I blame the wine. I might have been having a glass of wine when you said, hey, I just signed up for this. And it might have been the wine talking that made me like fill it out. And I didn't even tell your father. And so I'm sitting here in the closet, like, I just did this and I didn't even tell anybody. And I think when you texted me and said, oh, we're going to find out, I completely had forgotten about the whole marathon thing. And so when I got that email at 8:30 in the morning at work, I went, oh my gosh. All right.
I wish I screenshotted the text. It was like, oh shit, I think I got in or something like that. No.
Yeah, that was a moment, but I'm glad. And I'm nervous as all get out. I think I'm nervous about the uncharted territory, and I'll just, like you said, I'll take one day at a time and keep listening to your podcast and advice and try to get through it.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think we're going to do great. It's I've heard amazing things, and it's not my first marathon, but this will be my first world major. So that'll be all new for me too. So I think that'll be fun to do together for sure.
Yeah.
But cool. Well, thank you for coming on and doing a little check-in on your training. We're definitely going to do, I'm going to talk you into doing a full episode after you run your first marathon. So you'll definitely be back on to film your full episode and recap everything. But I don't know if this is fun, if people like this, let me know. Maybe we'll do like a 3/4 of the way through after you get past your 13 mile run or something like that and check in. So we'll see. Maybe we'll have you on 2 more times.
Yeah. I think, you know, the saying that runners say often on your podcast that they like to do hard things is no joke. But I want to thank you for pushing your mom and for guiding me through this. I think with your help, I'll survive. And I just want all your listeners to know how wonderful you are. And I think, well, you are. Your dad and I are very proud of you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.